Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for Friday, the 12th of February, 2021. I'm joined by Callum. Before we begin, you should go and follow us on minds.com. We've got 7,000 followers on there, and we're big supporters of alternative tech. And so we think that you should go and follow us there rather than, as well as everywhere else, to be honest. We're on pretty much every platform. But we do think that we should be helping to spread the good word about alt tech. About yesterday's outage on the website, by the way, we actually don't really know what happened. We got after the podcast, we got a sudden spike in traffic, and it kind of messed things up on the back end. I don't know what happened, but that's all been fixed now. So you can go to lotusteaser.com and check out our wonderful premium content that you have to sign up to view. It's very exclusive. This weekend, there will be the book club of Marcus Aurelius's Meditations that myself and Hugo did. Very pleased with it. It's a very, very interesting book to read, and it was very fun to talk about. But anyway, what happened to Project Veritas?
They're gone. They're finally gone from Twitter.
Oh dear.
The Silicon Valley's had enough of being embarrassed. The first thing I wanted to go over was actually some corrections of a story we did yesterday on Disney with the cancel culture stuff. So this was one of the things we featured, was this image here. This guy is also on the same show as the lady who got cancelled, comparing the kids in cages in Trump's America to people in concentration camps in the Holocaust.
Yes.
It turns out this is not just false because it's an obvious false comparison. It's also false because the image is not from America. It is from Palestine. It is kids waiting to get food at a soup kitchen, as it's labeled, with a bunch of kids in the cages, presumably because kids are annoying, so shove them in the cage.
I mean,
and there's not just
every parent's dream, to be honest.
I mean, you literally have cages in, like, you know, doors in home cells, or what are they called? Gates,
yeah.
Gates put down. It's not just the one image. There are a couple more images. So the next couple of links are just different images of this. So it's definitely real. It's not just some guy on the internet said it. The next one's same thing. Just kids in the same cages.
Right. So not only was Pedro Pascal doing the thing that Gina Carano had done, but he also was spreading fake news.
Wow, he was condemning Palestine. So, okay. So the next thing here was the fact that a Disney producer had also done far worse. So this is a guy who is a producer for Disney.
Yep.
This was at the time of the Covington kids schoolboy saga, and he wanted to put the MAGA kids into the wood chipper.
Yep. For anyone who's not familiar, this was when a Native American activist confronted some Catholic schoolboys, and the video footage made it look like the Catholic schoolboys, because of the angle it was shot and the sort of particular time period that was cut, made it look like they were trying to intimidate him and smirk at him or something like that. But other footage from other angles shows that, in fact, it's the boys who were being impressed upon by the activists, and they were, in fact, racially abused by Hebrew Israelites.
Like Israel people, like Israel. So they were shouting things like cracker and whatnot.
Yeah.
But so his response was kill them. Apparently he apologized for this, therefore this is all okay.
Yeah, but that was the thing. Like the reaction from, I guess, you know, the cabal was basically this. Mm. The MAGA kids are evil and they need to go into the wood chipper. It's like, wow, that's pretty strong.
So this is fine. But
no problem here,
that,
Disney.
You know, cancel culture is like the early stages of the Holocaust, is not fine. The next thing is something also Disney likes is apparently nonsense. So this is a guy who was convicted of paedophilia, and then he was rehired by Disney to work on a show with underage kids.
What?
So these are the sort of things you can get away with if Disney is interested, but being pro-MAGA, not okay.
So
that's a step too
Brian
far.
Brian Peck served 16 months in prison after admitting two counts of abusing a Nickelodeon child actor. And what he was in two X-Men movies, and since then he's been a dialogue coach and worked on a Disney series and played a teacher and claims to be a friend of Charlie Sheen. Okay.
So he was still working for Disney.
Right.
So nonsense's fine. Threatening to kill kids, or at least hoping that kids are murdered, that's fine. Condemning Palestine, that's fine. But saying
the Holocaust was bad, not fine.
Yeah. That's Disney, but there's the updates there.
But Walt Disney did have some strong views on these things himself, didn't he? So maybe we shouldn't be too surprised.
Hmm. Anyway, into Project Veritas. Mm. So Project Veritas has been removed from Twitter completely. Their official account is completely gone. If you go on it, it just says suspended. And a lot of people were wondering why. It turns out they'd released some new tapes, and Project Veritas, people who don't know, like to do undercover stings of different organizations that don't like their real views being aired, most notably Silicon Valley. So Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. They have insiders send them tapes of what's being actually discussed, and it shows that what everyone suspects Silicon Valley to be is true. And this is one of the tapes that they showed that subsequently got them deleted. So this is Nick Clegg, so the former leader of the Liberal Democrats,
yes,
and now works for Facebook in the policy
side of the building. The mouth of Facebook, yes.
Yeah, him and the vice president of Facebook in a Zoom call with Mark Zuckerberg. So let's just play the clip.
But there has been quite a lot of disquiet expressed by many leaders around the world, from the president of Mexico to Alexander Navalny in Russia, and Chancellor Angela Merkel, and others saying, well, this shows that private companies have got too much power and they should be only making these decisions in a way that is framed by democratically agreed rules. We agree with that. We agree with that. Mark would be very clear about that, that ideally we wouldn't be taking these decisions on our own. We would be taking these decisions in line with and in conformity with democratically agreed rules and principles. And at the moment, those democratically democratically agreed rules don't exist. We still have to take decisions in real time.
We have a system that is able to freeze commenting on threads in cases where our systems are detecting that there may be a thread that has hate speech or violence sort of in the comments. These are all things we've built over the past 3-4 years as part of our investments into the integrity space or efforts to protect elections.
So,
how do you have violence in a comment?
Well, you have a hate speech or violence. And as we know, through other Project Veritas leaks, the people who do that moderation interpret those things not in a sane way, but in an insane way.
Yeah, but I mean, literally by the definition of the terms, I don't think a comment on the internet can constitute violence. Ever.
Not to anyone sane.
Yeah, okay.
But the content moderators, as we've had from the leaks, they would describe things as supporting MAGA as terrorism.
So, right, okay, yeah, fair point.
So anything that they dislike will be automatically frozen, according to the vice president. And Nick Clegg there openly saying that actually, we have too much power, and the way we exercise our power is undemocratic, and we're even uncomfortable.
I mean, we agree, Nick.
Yeah,
agreement.
I'm in agreement, but one of the things you noticed there, he went to say that ideally we would use democratically elect, and then he cuts and goes, no, democratically implemented.
Agreed.
Yeah, democratically agreed instead, because if there was to be input from the user base, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing.
Or they might be very First Amendment inclined, mightn't they?
Yeah, they might be far right.
Nick Clegg puts out a thing. What would you like to do? And just one response is N.
Anyway, so yeah. Project Veritas put that clip out. They also put another one, which we can't play because this is what got them deleted officially, but it doesn't seem to be true. So this is a freeze frame of that second video. So what they like to do is they like to go to the person who they've caught saying things that they wouldn't say publicly and say, okay, now you're in public. Would you stand by this comment? Mm-hmm. And they never do. No one ever does.
Yeah.
So they went to the vice president's house here and asked him, you know, are you able to freeze comments? Do you stand by this, what you said, of, you know, hate speech? He says nothing and runs in his house.
So this is a practice that is otherwise called doorstopping. And this is something that the media does all the time.
Completely normal.
Completely normal. I mean, like, the most recent one that comes to mind was Jeremy Corbyn getting doorstopped by the press coming out of his house after he had just lost the election. It's like, morning, Jeremy, and he's slamming the car door. It was very, very amusing.
Well, Dominic Cummings
you know,
the last few days, he can't move anywhere else in the pandemic, so
they know exactly where he is, and yet they take the footage from his doorstep. And James O'Keefe published this, I published like a 2-minute clip of just a compilation of American journalists doing exactly the same thing. It's a completely normal practice in journalism, and Twitter took him down for, what was it, revealing private information?
So it would be violating their doxing guidelines. So if we can do the next tweet, that's actually exactly what you were describing, which is that's the next one after that.
Right, okay. But
so this is them being deleted, and then the next one should be James O'Keefe saying, whatever, I've got it the wrong one, my bad. So he did put out a clip in which he had CNN doorstopping someone, saying that they had Russian bots in their server. And the argument was, in the clip with Project Veritas, you could see the door number of the vice president of Facebook. That was the defense from leftists I saw.
Right.
But when you actually went to the CNN clip or whatever, you had the door number as well.
Yeah.
So there is no argument here. It's just
one rule for another.
It's not about that. You were embarrassed. So they deleted his the Project Veritas account was suspended. And because he has a personal account and a company one, his account was also suspended because they tweeted the same thing.
Right.
And in this video, so we're not going to play this video, but he shows what happens. So a bunch of journalists started contacting Twitter to say, hey, what's going on? Why'd you get rid of Project Veritas? And Twitter S'd the bed and decided, no. Okay, we're not just going to temporarily suspend him. Project Veritas is suspended permanently. Slapped a permanent suspension on them.
And as we found out from Twitter yesterday, once your account's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
They never give you it back.
Never coming back. Except that they messed up. So you would expect them to permanently suspend James O'Keefe and Project Veritas because he runs Project Veritas. No, they panicked, banned Project Veritas, and went, job done. Everything is good. So when he went back to then...
Because he got a 12-hour suspension, right?
Yeah, so he went back to the phone and he shows on this video, here's Project Veritas, okay, I will cancel my appeal so I can just delete the tweet and get my account back. Oh, it's permanently suspended, that's gone now. And then he does the same thing on his account and all of a sudden he can get back on. So it's like, right, so this was a specific thing you put on Project Veritas after journalists contacted you.
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with what I did. It has everything to do with what the media did.
Yep.
So it's a very good example of how these things are not consistent.
But again, it always goes one way. It always goes one way. It's only ever right-wingers, quote-unquote, who get deplatformed from Twitter. The left-wingers get their accounts back.
And then the next one here is actually, sorry, because I realized I put them in the wrong order, is this what you were talking about? So if you scroll down a little bit there, you can see this lady trying to deny that in her group there were Russian trolls. I don't know the truth. I don't care.
Yeah,
but you can see that them showing the house, and then when she walks back in, you can see the number on her house. So are CNN going to be deleted for doxing? Is the BBC News going to be deleted for doxing when they went to Dominic Cummings? Of course not. It only ever goes one way.
Yeah.
And I wanted to put this in with the fact that a bunch of other stuff has been happening. They're not necessarily connected, but I just... good update.
It's in the same subject.
Yeah. So another part here is that the BBC has been banned from broadcasting in China because... They've upset the Chinese government. So the way they put it, so if we put this in the language of Silicon Valley, I think that's the best way that we can demonstrate how bad Silicon Valley is. So they were engaging in manipulated media practices. Silicon Valley version would be. They were distorting the truth and trying to mislead people.
Never.
And the way the CCP says they were distorting people was that they were bringing up the genocide, and that's haram. You can't be doing that. That's distortion.
Well, of course, you don't want people hearing about that.
And also lying about China's government's handling of the COVID outbreak, the initial mess-ups. That's all made-up media. Therefore, they are banned from China, and China's a private country that can do what it wants, so nothing you can do about it, BBC.
Oh, BBC, the one time you actually report the truth and you get banned for it. That's rough.
But if they don't like it, they can just build their own China, can't they? But you see how... The reason I wanted to do that was because you can see how ridiculous this argument is when it comes to media companies in the US when you apply it to something like this.
Yeah.
There is no defense of this. This is just the BBC told the truth,
and
the authorities in power just said, gone.
Oh, now you know how it feels, BBC.
Learn to live with it. Although I do have some good news. So we covered before about how the Law Commission was planning to make images of Mohammed illegal in the UK because
I don't even remember that.
Our country is run by Sharia. Apparently they're going ahead with this. Nothing stopped them on that. But they have backed down on one thing. So this was reporting at the time that also buried in there was that they wanted to make hate speech within a private domicile illegal. So there was always been an exemption on speech codes that said... if it's in your private house in which the public can't even hear it, why would we even make that illegal?
Whose business is it?
Exactly. Therefore, this was exempt from the hate speech laws that we had in the past. So Dankula would get in trouble because he put it on the internet.
Yep.
But if he had done that in his own home and that's it, he couldn't get in trouble. They want to change this. They wanted to change it so even if you engaged in hate speech in your own house, you would be guilty of a crime. And the first question that brings up is, how's that going to work? How are you going to get evidence of this?
Well, I mean, they do all have an Alexa recording everything they say.
So that's one angle.
And it's not like Silicon Valley is terribly reticent to hand over private information if Facebook is anything to go by.
Mm.
The only people in there is Apple who seem to care about that.
But even if you weren't to use, which I suspect they're happy to use microphones hidden.
I imagine that they would,
just to prosecute people for naughty words. Yeah. And if you weren't to use that, you would have to do what the East German government did, which is to get everyone to tattletale on each other.
That is also an option.
So you'd have, kids handing in their parents for hate crimes.
And if we've seen anything from the Capitol riots, it's that there are people out there who are prepared to dob in their parents to the authorities.
Absolutely. So there's a few people who have been campaigning against this that I want to shout out because, good job.
Yep.
So Fair Corp, Free Speech Union, Lord Vinson, and Lord Pearson, great guy, have all made a lot of noise about this, questioning what on earth do you think you're doing. And the The Law Commission has backed down, saying that we're not going to try and make saying things in your own home illegal. But the question
is, thank God for small mercies.
If you actually accept that hate speech is something that should be policed and all this stuff, you know, if you accept all these premises, why do you stop yourself at private conversations? What is the limiting principle there? Like, if you're saying, if I go in public and say to 100 people a piece of hate speech calling for genocide, that should be banned or something like this. Well, if I do it with five of my family members, why is that different?
Yeah, it's qualitatively exactly the same. The difference is just quantitative.
Yeah.
And principally, if you believe that all hate speech is bad, then the quantity doesn't matter.
No, if I do it to just one person, if I tell my girlfriend something ridiculous.
If I do it alone in a room, then I should be prosecuted for it by their standards.
So that's why they ended up here. And I can't get over how there's so little opposition to this. I mean, thank God for these people who have fought back on that aspect of these reforms, but the Mohammed stuff's still in there. That's not changing. Yeah. And what's interesting is their response to this, in which they accept that, yes, we were basically trying to be the Stasi, isn't very good either. Like, I don't understand how these people think. So
you're acting like the Stasi, and they're just like, yes.
They're just like, well okay, fine. Whatever.
What's wrong with being the Stasi?
So their response here, to give them their word: the criminal team is looking at alternative ways in which the law might be reformed in order to ensure these laws, which criminalized only the most serious forms of incitement, are compatible with both the right to freedom of expression and the right for one's home, privacy, and family life. That doesn't make any sense.
No.
How can you have the right to freedom of expression and also implement laws which target people for hate speech?
Yeah. I mean, you're directly infringing on my freedom of expression in certain ways that you are just outright open about. We don't want you saying this, 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 and this.
Mm. So the Free Speech Union sent an email to all its members. I'm a member of the union, so I got a quote from them talking about this. So they say, unfortunately, this is only one of the numerous changes that the Law Commission is proposing to undermine free speech. For instance, it is still recommending expansion of the number of protected characteristics.
That's what we need.
Potentially to include gender, age, subcultures, such as goths and sexual fetishes, and asexual people, and urging the government to change the law so that people can be prosecuted under the Public Order Act if they are likely to stir up hatred against any of these groups.
Great. It's going to become a hate crime to patrol thoughts on the internet.
Yes. Well, some of these are the new proposals which we've been mocking for a long time. The idea of doing it along gender, age, and then subcultures got brought in. And we're like, what does that even mean?
But what prevents Nazis from being claimed as a victim group here?
That
again.
Well, already we have belief on there, so they would actually be protected by that. And as a subculture, they would have double protections. So, you know, the neo-Nazis of the UK can sue all they want, and they likely will win by the law. But the new one in there...
Not a great law.
The new one, sexual fetishists.
Oh, God.
Furries.
Foot fetishists, that's what that is. Big feet are trying to...
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure you could make an argument for them being a subculture, but I think furries is a better example of a subcultural group along sexual fetishist lines. They're now a protected group. They're as protected as anyone else. So if you engage in any hate speech against furries in the coming years, you're gonna go to jail in the UK.
Okay, I stand even more firmly on my position that there is no hate speech against furries or foot fetishists or many other types of disgusting groups, in fact.
But this is the Equality Act. This is where this leads. If you accept that equality is a good thing, it's obviously not. It is equal treatment that is a good thing, not equality. That doesn't really mean anything.
Mm.
Then you end up at this point in which you say, okay, we'll make special privileges for men versus women, or special privileges on the basis of skin color. Where's the limiting principle? And you end up at the point where, actually, I think you probably could argue that paedophiles are a subculture.
I think they would argue that.
In which case, the MAPS... they're a protected group, and if you engage in hate speech against them, you're going to go to jail.
But that's one of my favourite pastimes, is engaging in hate speech against MAPS.
Well, enjoy it while you can.
Well, I guess
the Law Commission get their way in a year, that's going to be against the law.
Oh, God.
So post your memes, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I said good news, but I mean...
Yeah, I don't think that is good news. Things are going slightly better in the United States, actually. Although the gun grab is, of course, well underway. Now, just to be clear, Joe Biden has been pretty damn open about the fact that he doesn't like guns and wants to get rid of them. So this is from joebiden.com, and this is his pledge, which is essentially to take your guns. So, like, he's got some absolutely baffling things on here, like hold gun manufacturers accountable. The only thing gun manufacturers could be accountable for is producing faulty products, right? Because they sell a product, that's what you use the product for, is then the person who's using the product. But he wants to essentially repeal the protection to make sure that the manufacturer is not liable for the way the product's used. That's just a bizarre, bizarre thing.
Say that again.
Like, Joe Biden wants to repeal something like the Protection Lawful of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act. The law protects these manufacturers from being held civilly liable for their products, a protection granted to no other industry. Biden will prioritize repealing this protection. So he wants to make, if there was a mass shooting, that means the gun manufacturer would be liable for the shooting. But that doesn't make any sense. Like, is a car manufacturer liable for a vehicle of peace attack?
I suppose so. Toyota is ruined because, yeah, I don't know if you've seen the footage out of ISIS, but every truck they've got from Toyota.
That's weird.
You know, you've not seen that.
No, I haven't seen
it's,
that.
It's great. It's actually a big embarrassment for Toyota.
Weirdly specific in what Toyota, the brand of...
Yeah, okay, yeah. Their trucks are perfectly built to put a machine gun on the back so to right, then shoot people. So Toyota's going bankrupt, I guess.
I guess so. But anyway, as president, Biden will ban the manufacture and sale of assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. Like, I'm not a gun nut or anything, but like assault weapons, every weapon is for assault. That's the point of it. It's in the definition of what a weapon is. It's to hurt things. That's why it's a weapon. But anyway, ban the manufacture and sale of assault weapons, whatever that means, and high-capacity magazines, as if that's the real problem here. Regulate possession of existing assault weapons under the National Firearms Act. Buy back the assault weapons and high-capacity magazines already in our communities. I hate this buy back. Again, I hate...
So that's what the Australians did.
Yeah, but you didn't buy the guns from the government.
No.
Because it implies the government is, in fact, the source of the right to own the gun, which it's not. And again, all this is baked into the very founding philosophy of the United States. The right to own a gun is within you. You are a person who is entitled to self-defense, and therefore you're entitled to use weapons for your own self-defense.
The only person who endows that right is your creator, in which case, of the Christian world, God.
Yeah, or nature itself, if you believe in evolution. Mm. You know, you have evolved with certain abilities, and one of those is the right to defend yourself. Reduce the stockpile of weapons, require background checks, blah, blah, blah. Basically, and end the online sale of firearms and ammunition as well. Because, again, that's the problem.
Well, the pandemic in which gun stores can't open.
Yeah, exactly. We've closed your stores and you can't get these things online. So basically, you can see how this is pretty damn, like, it's a sort of full spectrum assault on the Second Amendment, which, and I not an American, but this language totally resonates with me. Shall not be infringed. Right? That's very clear. You actually can't really misread that. So if you're trying to infringe on my right to own a gun in any kind of way, then shall not be infringed. So all of this should be a no to Americans, right? All of it. But the latest attempt, as reported by Hugo on LotusEase.com, there's a really great article.
One thing. Didn't Biden literally say on the campaign trail that he was asked about this? He said he wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Just a reminder for Biden verse.
Oh, yeah. Biden's a liar. But no great surprise. Two stacks Biden wasn't honest. Oh, shock. But anyway, the Sabika Sheikh Firearm Licensing and Registration Act, which sounds very American to me. The Sabika Sheikh Firearm Licensing and Registration Act. Yeah, that sounds like what Americans would do. That's not a foreign idea that's come in from someone who's foreign or something, but is currently making its way through the House Judiciary Committee, and it says it shall be unlawful for a person to possess a firearm or ammunition unless, and who cares what the requirements are really, but the person is, unless they're carrying a valid license.
So it's not a right anymore, it's licensed.
It's you got a license for that self-defense, just like us, in fact. I mean,
we have licensed speech after we had licensed guns.
Yeah, so this is where it goes. Just be aware, Americans. But Hugo expands on this throughout the article, which we'll link in the comments or in the description to save us having to read it all, because we've got a lot to go through and we're already 20 minutes in. God, how is it we have so much stuff to talk about? But possession of a firearm without said license would carry a punishment of $75,000 to $150,000 and 15 to 25 years in prison or both. Shall not be infringed.
Minimum 15 years, $75,000.
Honestly,
for engaging in your rights as guaranteed by the Constitution.
I hate it. I'm not an American. I've got no gun rights, and I hate it. I'm actively angry about this. Like, this is.
But I don't even know if I can say what I want to say. I want to talk about the purpose of the Second Amendment.
Yeah, probably not. But yeah.
Can hint to it, can't I?
Well, it's designed to resist tyrannical government.
Yep, that's what it's for.
It's not for self-protection. Mm. It's tyrannical government. Just saying. Those holding a firearm license would need to renew it every year for the first 5 years and every 3 years after that. So they want to treat you like you're some geriatric driver. Like, you know, for 5 years. Oh, no, now 3 years. Now maybe it's a yearly thing. You know, maybe you need to keep getting tested to see if you're going to go on a shooting spree or something. It's like, it's insane. And my only response is just shall not be infringed. The good thing, though, as Hugo points out, if we can scroll down a bit so we can see the wonderful GIF that was embedded in this. There we go. Yeah, this GIF of for those who can't see, the rights carry laws. And as Hugo says, despite federal gun control legislation being proposed, the long-term trend across the US goes in the opposite direction. As the right to carry timeline covering the extent of gun restriction shows, most states have gone from not issuing any permits at all for gun carry at all, or a state may issue a permit, to a state shall issue a permit, and this has actually been reversed. So it used to be that only one state, which is Vermont, had unrestricted carry of firearms, and 8 other states had like shall issue, which is a very slight weakening of that. But this has gone in the other way. So now you have 16 states have moved to shall issue, and 8 states with a may issue, and there were a bunch more that had unrestricted, but unfortunately I didn't see that. Anyway, a bunch. Basically,
so they're going in direct opposition at the federal level compared to what's going on the state
yes.
level.
Yes, at the state level, as you can see, the green appearing on the map now. These are the unrestricted areas. It used to be just Vermont, but as you can see, it's actually becoming quite a popular position in the sort of flyover Republican belt, right? So the Republican states
and Maine, there.
Yeah, and Maine. Yeah, yeah. But it's mostly along the sort of center of the country where they're like, actually, hang on a second. No, shall not be infringed. And I'm living for it. I'm absolutely living for it. Right. So this is obviously a very much a conflict between the federal government and the state governments. And so you had the Missouri House recently that is actively, it's not just enough to be sort of, you know, passively anti-gun grabber. You have to be actively anti-gun grabber, right? So if we can go to the next one, the Missouri House on Thursday passed a bill to ban local police from enforcing federal gun laws. That's mad. Like this is where we start getting into sort of like, you know, Civil War II territory, right? So this, I mean, like, because at some point Joe Biden is going to order the federal authorities to go in and take so-and-so's guns.
Well, to enforce the licenses.
To enforce the licenses.
If this passes in the Supreme
and
the Supreme Court.
And Missouri will say, we don't have licenses. Shall not be infringed. And in fact, legally, our own local state police are not allowed to help you try and do that. And in fact, I mean, who knows? They may well go further. I mean, I'll read some quotes out in a second.
Well, if you start trying to hand out licenses and steal people's guns, you'd be breaking the law. So the right thing for the state police to do would be to arrest the federal officers.
Yeah, and I think on a moral level, I find it unlikely that the state senators and congresspeople are going to find themselves on the side of the federal government here, because this is very clearly a moral issue for these people. But the Republican-led House voted 103 in favor and 43 against, and quote, "We're telling Robert Beto O'Rourke and everyone else that hell yes, we're standing up to preserve the Second Amendment rights of our constituents," says one Republican representative, Nick Schroer, which is excellent. And those agencies who tried to penalize local police departments could face fines of up to $50,000, which is good. One St. Louis Democratic representative, Peter Meredith, said, "We're literally defunding our law enforcement agencies to give money to criminals. This is not hyperbole." So excellent. Excellent. Work. And of course the QAnon congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, who I don't know anything about her, but that's what they call her.
But I'm starting, you know how we don't agree with QAnon, it seems like nonsense, but the more and more I hear people opposition to it, the more and more based it seems. So when I hear like QAnon congressman, I'm like, right, so someone based.
Yeah, exactly. Like I don't even know what QAnon's claiming, other than the fact that there's a pedo conspiracy and Jeffrey Epstein had been convicted for such a thing. So
that's her position. So what has she got to say?
Yeah, well, she's
someone honest.
She introduced legislation to abolish federal funding for enforcing of gun control laws. Now, I doubt this is going to go anywhere, obviously. But the point is, she's at least doing something. You know, if the Democrats and various other weak Republicans, rhinos, decide, oh no, we can't do that, then what can they do?
But, imagine standing up for the Constitution.
Yeah, imagine standing up for your natural rights. It's wild. What a lunatic this woman is. Probably a bad person as well, right? So she called this the Second Amendment Preservation Act, and it proposes to cut federal funding from implementing, enforcing, or advancing any measure, law, regulation, or guidance to the lawful use, purchase, sale, possession, or transportation of firearms by any citizens of the US, the United States, and would halt federal funding for the enforcement or implication of any gun control law or guidance to be placed into effect by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Good. She says, throughout my campaign for Congress, I promised the people of Northwest Georgia that I would be the strongest defender of gun rights on Capitol Hill. The Second Amendment Preservation Act prevents the federal government from using our taxpayer dollars to enforce gun control laws on law-abiding Americans. Our God-given right to protect our country, ourselves, and our families shouldn't be up for debate. I'm proud to introduce this legislation endorsed by the American Firearms Association that will defund the enforcement of tyrannical gun control laws. I don't think this is an issue that's going to go away. And I think this is going to be an issue that will have a flashpoint at some point in the near future. Not that I want this, of course, but I just think that this is what's going to happen, where it will come to the point where federal agents are here to take your guns. And I think the local law enforcement will say that's illegal.
I mean, this has been obviously a debate for the United States for as long as the United States has been around. But the Democrats have always gotten worse and worse on this.
Yeah.
And I remember I watched, as non-Americans, we've got to take this from what we can see.
Yeah.
And I remember watching John Stossel, who made a really good segment of him trying to get a gun in New York State.
Yeah.
And he had to provide, death threats. And that was easy for him because he's a TV star to show that he had a valid reason for it. He then had to fill out a form in which he had to describe types of knives. So different types of knives, as if that has anything to do with him holding a gun. I mean, after he completed all the stuff, went down to the police department twice, paid a ridiculous amount of money, still rejected. Not
really?
Needed. Yeah.
See, this was a viral thing a few years ago, wasn't it? Because the left have been screaming, oh, it's easier to get a gun than an abortion. And it turns out that's just not true.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. But it's always been bad in sort of these Democrat-run cities, that kind of thing. But now they've got the White House and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
I guess they're trying to implement it on everyone.
Yeah, and so it's good to see that the Republicans are at least pushing back on this in tangible ways, like legal ways, that will actually create legal protections for their constituents.
But the MAGA people, they're the crazy ones here. It's like,
They're literally
standing up for civil rights.
Yeah.
I don't know what you want.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? There's nothing the left can't ruin. They're currently ruining civil rights. So
property rights don't exist to them.
Yeah.
The right to self-defense doesn't exist to them.
Just the idea of not being racially discriminated against has been abolished by the left. Now we're actively...
California.
Exactly. Now we're actively racially discriminating. It's like, oh God, what are you doing?
Did they end up passing that in California?
It was in November it was voted on.
I can't remember.
I'll have to check.
But they still proposed it either way.
Yeah, exactly. Why are you even having this discussion?
Yeah.
Excuse me, can we go back to racial discrimination, please? No. Why are any of the Republicans proposing that?
Why do you want this? Because we're on the right side of history.
Yeah, exactly.
And racism is the right side of history. Okay, Democrat, leave me alone.
But the thing is that...
Don't touch my stuff.
The Republican Party was fundamentally against this kind of thing. Like, that's the point of the Republican Party. Mm. Like, end slavery. And so, like, the Republicans seem to have done quite a good job with civil rights, and the Democrats are just here to ruin it. Just absolutely ruin everything, honestly. But anyway... Let's talk about the complete saga of Joss Whedon, because what's this, right? So Joss Whedon is currently in the news again because all of the cast of Buffy have come out in essentially against him, and I'm not here to defend him, but I am here to explain what's happened, because I used to be a really big fan of Buffy. Loved Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It's really good. Good watching. Get stoned when I was in university, watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, good stuff, right? Play video games. Good fun times. But one of the actresses, don't laugh, it's good.
No, I'm just laughing at how simple life used to be.
It used to be wonderful. It used to be great. Life used to be fun. You used to be able to enjoy yourself. But anyway, Charisma Carpenter played, I can't even remember the name of the character now. It's been a few years since I've watched it. But she played one of the main characters on the show. And she came out and tweeted this statement, along with I Stand With Ray Fisher, my truth as well. And...
Josh has been accused of rape or something?
No, actually. We'll get that's the one thing he's actually not being accused of. And as a male feminist, that really marks him out as something strange and unique. he's actually not. But 180,000 likes. You see, this went very far on Twitter. But the question is, so who is Ray Fisher, right? So in 2020, Ray Fisher is an actor who is... playing someone on the Justice League, and he's black. If we can go to the next one, please, John, so we can see it. And so this opens up allegations of racism against Joss Whedon. So he spoke up about issues working with Joss Whedon in 2017, including accusations that a replacement director, that Joss Whedon was gross, abusive, unprofessional, and completely unacceptable in his treatment of the cast and crew. But he never went into detail, and now he's come out, and last year he came out with some detail, letting us know. But he also said that the erasure of people of color from the 2017 theatrical version of Justice League was neither accident nor coincidence. That's right. Hollywood hates minorities. Which is why it's replacing all of the white people in all of the new things with minorities. Hmm. Cordelia Chase. Yes, that's it. Thank you. Yeah. Cordelia was actually a really great character because she was a massive bitch. And it was really amusing. But anyway.
Don't swear.
Is that a swear word?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. But anyway. So he was upset that Whedon's reshoots had reduced screen time and cut performances for multiple actors of color. He also said he was made aware of blatantly racist conversations that occurred and realized that the notes I ended up getting from the reshoots were just a coded version of the racist things he was saying behind closed doors with the other executives. Race was just one of the issues with the reshoot process. There were massive blow-ups, threats, coercion, taunting, unsafe work conditions, belittling and gaslighting like you wouldn't believe. Jeff Johns made a veiled threat to my career during the LA reshoots. Multiple sources have informed me that Joss threatened the career of another person associated with the production. Toby was made aware and tried to cover for Whedon rather than deal with the abuse. Now, again, I have absolutely no idea whether any of this is true. I don't think that Joss Whedon is exactly a paragon of virtue, so I'm definitely not going to rule out that this could be true. But I find it strange that, like, Joss Whedon is the person being alleged to be a racist and misogynist, given how much time he has spent on social media being an activist against racism and misogyny.
Well, virtue signaling about it.
Yeah, I know, right?
So
it's always the way. But again, that's why it's so surprising that he's not being accused of rape. Charisma Carpenter came out, and her allegations are very interesting, right? So I'm just going to quote from a bit of it. Now, this is actually a surprisingly powerful statement.
I don't know why my nose is running, David. Sorry. Everyone?
This is actually a surprisingly powerful statement, right? So she says, for 2 decades, I've held my tongue and even made excuses for certain events that traumatized me to this day. Joss Whedon abused his power on numerous occasions while working on the sets of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel. Notice that, abused his power, right? While he found his misconduct amusing, it only served to intensify my performance anxiety, disempower me, and alienate me from my peers. Disturbing incidents triggered a chronic physical condition from which I still suffer. It is with a beating heavy heart I say I coped in isolation and at times destructively. Last summer, when Ray Fisher publicly accused Joss of abusive and unprofessional behavior, it gutted me. Joss has a history of being casually cruel. He has created a hostile and toxic work environment since his early career. I know because I experienced it firsthand repeatedly. Like his ongoing passive-aggressive threats to fire me, which wreaks havoc on a young actor's self-esteem. Doubtless it does. He called me fat to my colleagues when I was 4 months pregnant, weighing 126 pounds. He was mean and biting and disparaging about others openly, and he often played favourites, pitting what people against one another to compete and vie for his attention and approval. So he sounds like Louis the 14th, the Palace of Versailles. It's very interesting.
Why? What would he do?
Well, exactly that. Exactly that. He did exactly that with the aristocrats. He made he got them all in the complex at Versailles, and then got them to vie for his attention against one another, which made essentially rebellion impossible because they couldn't get together, because they need to get anything, they needed to go through him, and to go through him they needed like to ingratiate themselves through his court, and so essentially Joss seems to be running his sets like a French autocratic king. He called me in for a sit-down meeting to interrogate and berate me regarding a rosary tattoo I got to help me feel more spiritually grounded in an increasingly volatile work climate that affected me physically. Joss intentionally refused multiple calls from my agents, making it impossible to connect with him to tell him the news that I was pregnant. Finally, once Joss was apprised of the situation, he requested a meeting with me. In that closed-door meeting, he asked if I was going to keep it and manipulatively weaponized my womanhood and faith against me. So it sounds like Joss was trying to encourage her to get an abortion, which she, as a Catholic, didn't want to do. He proceeded
It's also actually criminal in the UK to do such a thing in a work environment.
Well, probably.
So I imagine it actually is in the US as well.
Yeah. Don't get pregnant though, Callum.
Make me.
I can't have... That's probably some sort of crime. He proceeded to attack my character, mock my religious beliefs, accuse me of sabotaging the show, and then unceremoniously fired me following the season once I gave birth. Back then, I felt powerless and alone with no other option. I swallowed the mistreatment and carried on. Unfortunately, all this was happening during the most wonderful time in new motherhood. All that promise and joy sucked out, and Joss was the vampire. There you go. Despite the harassment, a part of me, again, she's calling this harassment now, which I mean, maybe it is, but a part of me still sought his validation. I made excuses for his behavior and repressed my own pain. I have even stated publicly at conventions that I'd work with him again. Only recently, after years of therapy and a wake-up call from the Time's Up movement, do I understand the complexities of this demoralized thinking. It is impossible to understand the psyche without enduring the abuse. Our society and industry vilify the victims and glorify the abusers for their accomplishments. The onus is on the abused with the expectation to accept and adapt to be employable. No accountability on the transgressor who sails on unscathed, unrepentant, and remorseless. These memories have weighed on my soul like bricks for nearly half of my life. I wish I'd said something sooner. I wish I had the composure and courage all those years ago, but I muted myself. With tears welling, I feel an overwhelming sense of responsibility to Ray and others for remaining private about my experience with Joss and the suffering it has caused me. It is abundantly evident that Joss has persisted in his harmful actions, continuing to create a wreckage in the wake. My hope now, by finally coming forward about these experiences, is to create a space for the healing of others who I know have experienced similar abuses of power. So this is the Time's Up movement in action. Hmm. I mean, to be honest with you, I've got absolutely no sympathy for Hollywood. And they probably get what they deserve, and they probably deserve everything that they get.
Most of this, I'm not sure I care about anyway. The only thing in there that I think is actually egregious is him suggesting that she ought to get an abortion.
Yeah.
And also probably criminal. For good reason. Like, you can't just bully your employees into having abortions.
Probably not in California.
I don't know.
I'm surprised it's not mandatory.
I would hope it'd be part of their Equality Act, because I mean,
they've probably repealed that by now. Yeah, anyway, right. The point is, it's probably true that Joss Whedon had created some kind of toxic work environment. But this is
male feminists always do.
Those male feminists, right? And the cast of Buffy have effectively come out in one voice against Joss Whedon. Sarah Michelle Gellar says, this is Buffy herself, says, "While I am proud to have my name associated with Buffy Summers, I don't want to be forever associated with the name Joss Whedon." The problem there is that Joss Whedon will forever be associated with Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So, yikes. Michaela Trachtenberg... the funny thing about her statement, though, is she's like, "I am more focused on raising my family and surviving a pandemic currently, so we'll be not making further comments at this time. But I stand with all survivors of abuse, and I'm proud of them speaking out." Literally, I really don't want to be involved in this. This is, you know, here's my political statement. Goodbye. Close the door. You know. And then you've got the other ones like Michaela Trachtenberg saying, you know, "I'm brave enough to, now as a 35-year-old woman, to repost this, because this must be known as a teenager with his not appropriate behavior, very not appropriate." But what are you actually alleging here? There was, you know, various others that all had come out essentially saying the same thing. I mean, one of them was a guy called James Masters, who played Spike. Spike was a very popular character on the show because Spike was a lunatic and he was funny. And he says... He was having an argument with Whedon. He says, "I came along and I wasn't designed to be a romantic character, but then the audience reacted that way to it. And I remember Whedon backed me up against the wall one day and he just said, 'I don't care how popular you are, kid, you're dead. You hear me? Dead. Dead.'" Joss himself has not commented on these latest allegations.
What? Like, the audience liked him, so he started threatening him.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. Why would he do that? Like, he wasn't designed to be a romantic character. I mean, Spike... wasn't meant to, but in the story of the series, Spike ends up having a redemption arc and becomes a good guy who sacrifices himself at the end, which, you know, is a good story, to be honest. It's a good tale. I don't know why Joss would have been upset by the fact that, but who knows? Could have been jealousy. Yeah, that's right. Anthony Head, who played the old school teacher, Giles, He went on This Morning with Philip Schofield and Holly Willoughby, and he admitted he had no idea what was going on. He had no idea any of this was happening. It's like, right, okay. So you worked with them closely day in, day out for years, and you never saw any of this. He says, I've been up most of the night running through my memories thinking, what did I miss? This is not a man saying, I didn't see it, so it didn't happen. I'm gutted, seriously gutted, because one of my memories, my fondest memory, was the fact that Buffy was so empowering, not just with the words in the script, but the family feel of the show. And he feels let down. He was like, I was sort of a father figure, because he was like a generation older than the rest of the cast. I would hope that someone would come to me and say, I'm struggling, I'd had a horrible conversation, and you know, how long was this going on? There are ups and downs, highs and lows. People have tempers. Everyone has a temper. I've heard people shout at the crew. We've all heard directors shouting and lead actors shouting at one of the crew for not wearing a mask. What I'm saying is there are highs and lows. But of course, as Ping News point out, this appears to go beyond what regular highs and lows should be. So yeah, the cast are essentially claiming it happened. One of them are like, I didn't know about any of this. And so draw from that the conclusions you want. But I think the funny thing about this is to go through Joss Whedon's history a bit, because Joss Whedon is essentially like King Feminist. Like, this is from back in 2007. I dug this up from, right? And like, you've got to understand, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, it wasn't overtly ideological, right? It was very well told as a story. The characters are very relatable and likable. But the... If you to conduct like a meta-analysis of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, it's very clearly a feminist show. And that was the point of it. But anyway, Joss Whedon back in 2007, as you can see, the young picture there, if you scroll down a bit, look how baby-faced he looks there. That's presumably before he's terrorized his cast and crew. But he was prompted by the horrific honor killing of a Kurdish teenager who was stoned and kicked to death to go and write various blog posts. And he believed, after he came out of university, that men have something called womb envy. They envy women because they can't carry children. And as a father and husband, that's not true, Josh. I don't think men have womb envy. I think, in fact, that they have something called womb relief. Relief that they don't have a womb and don't have to give birth. What I love about this article, right? From 2007, this sounds so quaint. I mean, listen to this. I'm sure the irony of a man writing a feminist essay is not lost on some of you. Oh, how naive does that sound? Like, but then if you believe in a world that's truly equal, it shouldn't surprise you that a man could be a feminist or a woman could be a sexist. If anything deserves to be beaten and buried, it's the man-hating lesbian myth. It's not doing us any favours. Is it a myth? Is it a myth? It's no longer enough to be a decent person, says Joss. It's no longer enough to shake our heads and make concerned grimaces at the news. True enlightened activism is the only thing that can save humanity from itself. True enlightened activism. Feminist activism. And this is a position that he has not shaken, obviously. He's been insufferable on social media since time immemorial. So there's an example just in 2015 where he's declaring the comic book movie industry to be sexist. This is when he was the director of Avengers Age of Ultron, which he got in lots of trouble for, which we'll talk about in a minute, in fact. He says, there is a genuine, recalcitrant, intractable sexism and old-fashioned, quiet misogyny that goes on. You hear, oh, female superheroes. They don't work because of those two bad ones that were made 8 years ago. There's always an excuse. Whedon, whose own Wonder Woman project at Warner Brothers was famously cancelled after several years of development, went on to then praise The Hunger Games as proof that female-led blockbusters could be a bankable prospect. He's always been an advocate for this. And so it was really funny in 2015 when he got in real trouble over the portrayal of Black Widow in this film. Now, I don't watch superhero movies.
Isn't Black Widow the completely useless one that can, like, fire a bow and arrow like Robin Hood and that's it?
Many useless in many different ways.
Oh, okay.
And that's how she got... So she really...
Her superpower is being useless.
After Whedon abandoned Twitter, what happened is Joss Whedon got bullied off Twitter because the character of Black Widow had gone through, after you get to hear about her secret backstory as a training as a cold-blooded spy, and was required to undergo forced sterilization. And this really upset the feminists on Twitter.
Why?
Really upset them. Well, I mean, think about it, right? If being a woman requires motherhood and forced sterilization is a breaking of that and makes her feel not like a woman, then who are you also saying are not women?
those who can't have children.
There we go. But the thing is, and the thing I find really interesting about this is that this is actually a really complex and detailed character arc for a character like this, right? But yeah, the way that the SJWs are freaking out about it was that instead of an assassin constantly struggling with moral lines she didn't know existed, we got a woman who feels incomplete because she can't have babies. You know, my final test was in Red Room. They sterilized me. It was one of the least things to worry about. You think you're the only monster on the team. It's not only the loss of innocence, the killing. It's not the loss of innocence through killing or being forced to live a life of betraying people. The greatest loss is motherhood. That's why she's a monster like the Hulk. Poor Black Widow. She leaned in, and where did it get her? She's a lonely, incomplete monster. No wonder the feminists felt personally attacked, right? Mm. We resemble that remark. So, Joss has always managed
incredibly transphobic. It's not.
Well, that's the point.
Brush over that.
But in 2015, that was less of a concern. If that had come out now, then that would be the primary
thing. But the idea of like elderly feminists being hurtful of this comment would be completely ignored.
Exactly. And even then, you did get the trans activists who were saying, well, hang on a second. Are you saying that being motherhood is an essential part of womanhood? And it's like. Anyway, so in 2016, Joss Whedon got divorced from his wife. They separated in 2012, and it was because he had been having affairs with almost everyone, it seems. And his ex-wife just came out and claimed that his feminism was a cover for his bad behavior, which is like, oof, this is a blog that she wrote.
Yeah, but what else is it new? Yeah, being exactly, a male feminist is a cover for sexual deviancy. Okay.
But again, in Joss Whedon's defense, he's probably the only male feminist who isn't being accused of sexual assault. So good for him.
Points for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, points for having consensual affairs behind your wife's back. As a male feminist, that's a real achievement. He used his relationship with me as a shield so no one would question his relationships with other women or scrutinize his writing as anything other than feminist. She goes on to detail this quite a lot and how he gaslighted her throughout their relationship. And maybe he did. Like, I don't find this to be implausible, to be honest. But it was on the set of Buffy he decided to have his first secret affair. 15 years later, when he was done with our marriage and finally ready to tell the truth, he wrote me, "When I was running Buffy, I was surrounded by beautiful, needy, aggressive young women. I felt like I had a disease, like something from a Greek myth. Suddenly, I am a powerful producer and the world is laid out at my feet and I can't touch it." But he did touch it. He said he understood. I would have to lie or conceal some part of the truth for the rest of my life. And anyway. So yeah, it's...
That's the story of
pretty amusing, to be honest. In my opinion, this is what you get.
I mean, I find that weird. Like, it's not just a left wing thing either. Like, we're making fun of the male feminist part here.
Yeah.
But I suppose the right wing equivalent would be like the Republicans,
the gay preacher who ends up having sex with loads of men in a bathhouse. Yeah.
But like the homosexuality is a sin and it must be made criminal. And in his in his weekends he's downing cock like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
Why would you engage
presumably the same reasons as in, you know, oh, I'm a feminist. I think that we should be progressive and forward thinking. Also, I'm going to treat all of the women around me like dirt. I'm going to lie and gaslight to my wife. It's got to be the same sort of thing. And he blames himself becoming credits himself becoming a feminist from his mother. And it's like, okay, well then I guess you need to sit down and have a conversation with a therapist about the relationship you have with your mother, don't you, Josh? So, I just found that really interesting. And I think it was interesting to give people a look into the backstory of why Joss Whedon is in the news and why the radical left care and no one else cares.
Was he part of Gamergate as well, out of interest?
Oh, he was opposed to Gamergate, obviously. Yeah. I mean, Gamergate didn't like meddling feminists ruining everything. And Joss was like, but I'm the guy who brought meddling feminism in to ruin everything. Why would I be against that?
I'd love to do like an episode someday that's just, you know, where are they now? And just go through all of the names from back in the day. Because, where are they now? We'll go to jail by the looks of it.
What's interesting about a lot of the Buffy cast is they're married with kids. So it actually became quite traditional, really. You know, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Charisma Carpenter, all those. They seem to be in like healthy relationships with their kids.
Oh, good for them.
And their husbands. So it's like, yeah, great. Anyway, comments from the site. So If you would like send us comments that you'd like us to read out, you can sign up to loadseats.com so you can comment on the site and go and comment on the page that we are streaming to right now, in fact. And we have one here from George Happ. What do you think of the tactic of personal boycotts of companies and people who hate you? It may not be effective when it comes to behemoths like Disney, PlayStation, and Google, since there are enough normies that they don't care, but I see it as a moral duty not to financially support your enemies. Well, that's incidentally why they demonetize us, for exactly that same principle. But, I mean, I personally have no opposition to the tactic of boycotts.
Depends, I think. So if it's... So there are different types of company. Types mm-hmm. of company that are explicitly ideological. Mm-hmm. You know, they're set up for an ideological cause. I mean, like we are a show that talks about things and we both are partisan in our views.
We have an ideological position, yeah.
But this doesn't really exist anymore, but the ideal position of most normal companies is McDonald's, right? What you used to think of McDonald's. They're just there to make your burgers. In which case...
Just sell me the damn burger, McDonald's.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about you being a progressive burger company.
But if an explicitly partisan show, like let's just take, I don't know, Navarra Media as well.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? Like, for boycott them for being what they are? That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, I think we should boycott them.
But that's the thing. It's like, they're explicitly partisan, so yeah. Whatever. Let them do their thing in the same way we're explicitly partisan. Okay, so let's do our thing.
Yeah.
But if it's McDonald's and then they engage in partisan activity, I think it's justified to say, actually, we don't want you doing this. We'd rather you just sell me the damn burger. But
yeah.
I'm in favor of boycotting things that you don't agree with. If it is not meant to be that thing.
Yeah. I'm not against boycotts at all. I mean, it's your money. You choose how you spend it. If you
take Disney right now.
Well, not just Disney, but like progressives. If progressives don't want to buy misogynistic comics or whatever it is, then don't. It's your money. That's the point of the market. Just don't complain when there are a bunch of misogynists who are like, hey, this comic's awesome. And it starts selling like hotcakes, you know, like, that's all I'm saying. But I mean, I would love to cancel my Disney account, but there's no way my wife would let me, because obviously it's for the kids.
Cuck.
Well, I can't do it. What the hell am I? Dude, I'm not the one who's got to deal with the kids at home all day, every day, right? And if I was like, right, darling.
I'm not blaming you, I'm blaming your wife here.
For ideological reasons, we're canceling Disney. She'd be like, haha, that's funny. And then, and then carry on. I was like, okay, fair enough.
Could just imagine, like, are you sure about that? Okay, never mind.
Are you going to take the kids? I was like, no, I'm not. No. But we've got two video comments as well. So this one's from Lewis Arnold. Let's go for it.
Hey, Carl. Back when you started on YouTube, what kept you going through times of low recognition?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Low what, sorry?
Low recognition.
What does that mean?
Just not being when you were famous, small. I guess. I mean, like, so I think people don't realize how much influence the anti-SJW side of YouTube had in normalizing criticism of feminism, right? Because it used to be that you just couldn't. You couldn't criticize feminism because, like, and we're talking like, you know, 2010 to 2012, 13, feminism had come in a big wave and all of the powers that be were supporting it. And you would just get shot down as a misogynist, blah, blah, blah. I mean, incel didn't exist then, but that's what they were trying to say. And so any kind of reasoned criticism of feminism was considered to be bigotry. And so it was very difficult to speak about these things. And so people making videos on YouTube like myself, I mean, I didn't know there was an audience, right? I was just really frustrated. I mean, the genre didn't exist. And I was just really frustrated about like all of this nonsense that was obviously immoral and obviously, well, sexist. And I didn't expect to make a name. I didn't think it was going to become a career, you know, doing this or anything like that. So it wasn't, being unrecognized wasn't on my mind. It was doing good work and finding out, because we were exploring undiscovered country effectively. So it was just interesting to see what was out there and what would happen.
If he's got his own channel, I can just think yesterday I saw Modern Wisdom tweet something out. So that's a podcast channel, mm-hmm. which you did an interview with. So they, like the guy's been running it for ages and he tweeted out yesterday that he got more viewership in the last day than he had in the last 6 months of his channel being existing. And he's just like, that's the thing. You just keep making and eventually stuff works.
Yeah, I noticed the interviews I did with him have done really well.
That's shout out for Modern Wisdom there.
Yeah, that's good. No, yeah, Chris, good stuff. Let's go for the second one. Oh, but by the way, if you want to send us video comments, you can do that by becoming a gold tier subscriber on loadseats.com. And you can just, as Alexander's doing here, just take a video of your phone, ask a question, and we'll answer it. I actually like these ones the most. It's more humanizing, isn't it?
Yeah. Hi, guys. I know you make a lot of references to Roman history. I'm not too well versed in Roman history, so I've decided to fall back on what I do know. Now, my question is, in light of the political changes over the years, at what point do you think is similar to the Istvan 5 event?
Is this something from Russian history?
I think,
because I'm not very well versed on Russian history, I'm going to be
I recognise the name. Istvan Valley 5, was that it?
I can we play it again, John? Because I kind of missed it. Like that, from about...
Just the empire where he's saying whatever it was. Not the whole thing. I forgot. Yeah, a little bit further back than that.
Yeah.
People in chat are calling it. Oh, Istvan Valley 5 from 40K. Okay, I don't
know. Oh, yeah, I haven't read any of the books. I'm really, really terrible in that way. So unfortunately, I can't give you a commentary, but I will ask Arch Warhammer for you, and I don't doubt that he has a very precise take on it. Armin says, hey, Carl, just want to make a parallel between...
So it's when the Horus Heresy started, so the... Right. The trader legions came there. They didn't know they were traders, and then they all murdered each other.
Right. Okay. I do want to read the Horus Heresy because everyone talks about it in such glowing terms, but I can't justify it for a book club. Like there are real things that I have to talk about. Like Marcus Aurelius's Meditations will be out this weekend, and I'd love to do the Horus Heresy.
Have you not watched? You must have watched like the lore videos about.
Yeah, I've watched. I've watched loads of lore videos, but I can't remember like any particular thing. Anyway, I just want to make up. Armin says I want to make a parallel between Marxism and a certain religion of peace. One of the most dangerous thoughts. Both seem to me to be the finality of their ideas. Yeah, that's a great way of framing it. Communism is the final socio-economic order, same as the certain religion peace is the final word of God. Nothing can be changed. Nothing can be better. This is the one and only route to utopia. And this kind of thought process logically leads to ends justifying the means. Means justify the goals. Thinking. This is the thing. Like communists. And communist terrorism is essentially like enlightenment jihadism. Like this is what they're doing. They have, and it's a really great point to make, and it's one probably we should make more often, is that they think that that's the end of politics in the same way that Islam is the end of religion. And I just don't think that's true. Robert Evans, with us losing the culture war and everyone who's opposed to the radical left finding it increasingly difficult and risky to open our voice to openly voice our political views, the UK political environment looks hopeless for the foreseeable future, and any hope of being able to democratically solve this problem by voting for a party that opposes this seems naive. How do you suggest normal people who do not have large platforms fight back against the left? The best thing normal people can do is share individual ideas. Just talk to someone you know and try and persuade them that, look, actually, maybe this aspect, like maybe we do have a natural right to defend ourselves, so maybe we actually should be allowed access to guns. I mean, what about tyrannical government? What about us being attacked in the streets, stuff like this? You know, maybe we actually do have that as a natural right, and maybe this is just something that you should consider. And it's this kind of like small steps is how things get to where they are for people who do not control the power structures. And since we don't control the power structures, that seems to be the only option we're left with. So have those conversations. They might be quite uncomfortable, and the people you're talking to will feel like they're being attacked on a deep moral level. So you've got to approach it gently, very gently, if you want any real success. Or there's always the full frontal attack where you just turn around and say, no, actually what you're doing is evil. That means you're a bad person and you should go and think about that. And they'll start crying and they'll start getting really angry at you. But maybe in a week or two, they'll have calmed down and said, look, I think you might have had a point on this one thing. And you've got a sort of door in, and then you can start doing it. But it depends on the person you're trying to persuade. But the point is, individual persuasion is the only real option here. But I mean, you know, there are lots of people who watch this podcast, other podcasts, you know, take what you've learned and see if you can change someone's mind. And they'll probably report you to Prevent, put you on a domestic terrorist. But what other options do we have? Brian Hack, door stopping is a horrible process. I'm a representative, yet I'm still a person. If you wish to get a statement, talk to my office, leave me alone. Being in the public spotlight is not a reason to have my privacy invaded, especially by CNN, though Project Veritas doorstops better and more respectfully. Yeah, I agree, to be honest. I don't like doorstopping either.
In general terms, yes, but it is a normal practice.
It is normal.
That was the defense. Yeah. If we do want to make the whole thing criminal, I'm not entirely opposed to this, because we can just send messages to your office. People have got your phone number. You know, they don't have to come to your personal house.
No. I mean, you can email someone.
Yeah, I mean, especially if it's a public representative, you can just go to the office.
And the thing
when it's someone at, like, Facebook or a private company, they've got offices too.
So. Yeah, but, like, Does door stopping ever work?
Hey,
I want a comment on this thing, and the person never gives a comment.
Sometimes. Sometimes you can get something out of them.
Yeah.
If not, it's all about the 5-minute long walk between officers,
yeah,
you know, to their car where they say nothing.
Yeah. And yeah, it's kind of embarrassing. It's just like, look, no one's going to talk under that circumstance. Mm. So Landry Chamberlain says, Carl, I just lost my job and I'm in fear of becoming essentially worthless in this day and age. Man, I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry to hear that you've lost your job, man. My skill set seems like it's no longer useful in this ridiculous Great Reset iCovid reality we're currently living in. Any advice for someone close to giving up? Well, obviously, don't is the first piece of advice. Don't give up. Giving up, to me, screams weakness, and that's not what I like to foster. You need to make yourself strong. So identify the points at which you're weak, and identify the things in your skill set that you think may be transferable to something else. It may be that we have to change, adapt, was it overcome, adapt, improvise. My son loves Bear Grylls, so just, you know, I've got to watch this stuff. But, like, anyway, the point is, don't become despondent, because nothing productive is ever done from despondency. Look at your skill set, see what's transferable and into what other realms. And at the end of the day, it may be that you can do well as an entrepreneur with the skills that you've got, rather than relying on a sort of established institution. Maybe you could end up doing the kind of thing that I've done here and creating one. Got any advice?
Not really.
No, things will get better. It's just not looking very bright in the immediate future, I have to admit. Craig Keller says, the left is winning because of their tactics of subversion. They have no moral or factual legitimacy. Meanwhile, the right always tries to make their own new thing, which makes us an easy target. I believe our goal should be to enter institutions en masse, gradually changing the culture in these areas, rather than trying to build or own our own institutions. What do you think? I think we should do both, to be honest. Support things that are new, that are coming up, like by signing up to lotuses.com. But also, and I've been saying this for years, you know, if you don't want your kids being taught by communists, you're going to have to become a teacher if you have any skills. If you don't want the media being broadcast to you by communists, you've got to go into media. You've got to do it yourself. It's just the way of the world. So you're right. Cap S says, American here, lots of guns are heirlooms and centerpieces of precious family collections. Weapons our ancestors fought and died to remain free. Many would rather die than part with such treasures, and understandably so. Fuzzy Logic, of course Biden is doing exactly what he said he wouldn't do. He didn't say what he would do with the Supreme Court, though. That's a surprise. Let's see if we'll actually be surprised. Yeah, he's bound to pack it. He's bound to pack it. I've said it before and I've said it again, says Angel Brain. Biden is looking more and more like the High Sparrow with Kamala as his scepter unella. Yes. James Turling. Hey, lads. Have you guys looked into the Welsh separatist movements such as Yes Cymru or the like? No, but I wish them all the best.
Yes Cymru?
I've not heard of it.
No, not
obviously a Welsh separatist movement.
Huh.
Bye. I'm all for it. And it's not because I want to break up the United Kingdom either. It's that I want these people to get what they deserve. Yeah, careful what you wish for. That's what it is. You just might get it. Jeremy Clark says, Black Widow is not the useless one. Haha, that's Hawkeye. Oh, yeah. Hawkeye's the one with the bow. But
so what's she got?
Training as an assassin and sterilized.
Does she at least have a gun?
Oh,
she
I don't
like know. Knives or something.
Joss Whedon is directing a feminist empowerment fantasy. I imagine
she's the most, you know, disempowered person in the group.
No. I imagine that when it comes to physical confrontation, she just kills everything around her with no particular hardship. I bet she's not even breaking a sweat by the end of it. You know how these Hollywood movies go.
No, I'm pretty sure she's useless.
I don't know. I've not seen that.
Anyway.
But yeah, Milo.
Apparently she's got two guns. That's it.
Oh, there we go. But I bet she never misses a shot. Milo Amis says, how do you feel that we can actually make a difference and galvanize the normies? Seeing as most, if not all, are more than happy to let the government become more and more authoritarian as long as they're comfortable in their personal lives, exactly as we've seen in China. The sheep don't fear the shepherd and are convinced they won't get turned into lamb chops. Well, I think people are starting to really quite suffer now. I'm seeing a great deal more resistance to lockdowns than was evidenced previously, say, 6 months ago. I think people are really starting to suffer because lockdowns are an utterly inhumane and cruel policy, which is why the World Health Organization does not promote them. You can go and check this on the World Health Organization's website. They do not. They say lockdowns are cruel and inhumane and affect minorities the most, but we understand why some governments did them. It's like, okay, but that's not promotion of the idea of a lockdown. That's just saying we're not going to condemn governments for doing it for some reason, because they should be condemning them. Anyway, Zen Chan. Carl, how far did your non-aggression principle go? Nowhere, because I'm not a libertarian. I hate the non-aggression principle. It's the same thing as utilitarianism. I'm just like, I'm not going to commit myself to not doing something. Like, if... like, the problem I have with the non-aggression principle is that, like, it's so idealistic. Like, if I've got, like, five people around me, and they're all saying, right, we're about to kick your head in, then I'm just going to punch one of them. I'm just going to stop punching. And then they'll be, oh, but you broke the non-aggression principle. Yeah, and I'll do it again, all right? If you're going to try and intimidate me and try and make, you know, like, I don't know, humiliate me, intimidate me, scare me, whatever, then I'm going to fight you because they are fighting words, right? And so I reserve the right to myself to be able to initiate a conflict if I think that's actually something necessary. I'm not a libertarian, but, I mean, conversely, obviously, oh, well, that means that anyone could attack anyone. No. You know, there are particular times and places and circumstances where certain things are justified, where other things are not, and there's no point committing to, like, this really ideological point. You know, obviously no one wants any aggression, that no one should be attacking anyone, but I'm not gonna like be like, oh, I've got a non-aggression principle.
To be fair here, the NAP is meant to be an ideological starting point. It's not meant to be literally interpreted, otherwise you end up with the Ancapistan video, which people should watch. So I don't know if you've seen that one,
but
Burger King's versus McDonald's.
Yeah, but this is the point. I'm not a libertarian. Like, I don't hold to these sort of ideological positions, because I mean, any discussion about them becomes increasingly ideological until, like, the best libertarian is the one who's never violated the non-aggression principle. It's like, sorry, I might have had a good reason to do it. You know, don't give me a good reason. Don't get me wrong, but I might have had, and so I'm not going to be judged on that. Anyway, Jeremy Clark says, I think I'm going to need to upgrade my account so I can send you a video message. Well, that's awesome. I really like the video messages because it saves my voice having to read out the messages. Edward Woodstock says, Horace Heresy novels are so book club material. Dan Abnett writes like he's a bibliography behind it anyway. He has so many references to history and literature. I don't doubt that it's awesome. I've got no doubt. But I also know that it's like a stack of books like this, and it would be something that I would doubtless end up neglecting other studies in favor of. And I don't think that I'm going to actually get that far in life with, I don't know, some sort of PhD in the Horace Heresy.
Depends on your audience.
I guess so.
I mean, there are plenty of 40K creators who are getting far in life with their PhD in 40K studies.
That is true. I'm in the wrong job. The Civic Nationalist says, we need to start up the story of Britain and the British being a nation of heroes and winners. We are all descendants of winners. We are such graceful winners that we are willing to return land back. Disagree, then you are descendants of losers. Hey, I like that framing. I like that framing a lot. We are absolutely the descendants of winners. Gareth Green, and that was for £50, man, thanks. And Gareth Green, $49. You don't seem to understand the right of free speech is an extension of private property, specifically the right to use and dispose of one's property, such as one's mouth and hands. No, I very much do agree with that. If you're on or inside someone else's property, then that property's rights demand complete. Then if you're inside or inside someone else's property, that someone else's property rights demand complete control of you, your actions, your speech, and the only right left is your right to vacate the premises. Anything else is theft and burglary. I don't really agree with that framing.
That doesn't make sense.
No, I think that it does stem from property rights, but my own property is in my own body, and so the abilities and functions of my own body are mine.
But when I enter your house, for example, I still own me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just because I'm on your property doesn't mean you then own that piece of property.
Yeah, exactly. So that doesn't follow. Yeah, exactly. I don't agree with what you've extended it to there, Gareth, but I do agree that it comes from the idea that it's my body, my property, my choice.
It's an actually interesting point about space law. Bit of a tangent, I know, but
no, go ahead.
Anything that is sent up into space is the property of the country that sent it up, and the Communist Party of China even signed up to this, so that's kind of funny. So if you find a Soviet satellite, it's actually technically still an ownership of the Soviet Union, which you could argue is the Russian Federation. There's a debate about that, but
yeah.
Anything American, so the Apollo landing stuff, the flag there, that's still all the property of the United States government.
Elon Musk is going to, like, come and enforce it.
Well, that's the problem, actually, Elon Musk is running into. If he launches anything into space, it is still the property of the United States government.
Yeah, this is why he doesn't want to be governed by Earth laws, isn't it?
Well, he's at the moment, space law does not agree with him. But if he is able to declare independence as the as the tech priests of Mars once did, then, you know, what are they going to do about it?
Well, that's exactly it. You know, come and fight him for it. Daft N says, when Chuck Schumer was lying about the incendiary nature of flashbangs during the investigation into the tragedy of Waco, how do you believe it's just stupidity? That was from yesterday, but I don't know anything about that, I'm afraid. C Knight says, the gun grab begins, huh? Well, if they try for mine, I've got two words for them, Molon Labe. Exactly. Apple Mania Gaming says, at the start of this podcast, Melbourne is back under lockdown. Masks mandatory ever again. Can't travel more than 5 kilometres from our home again. Just for 5 days, they're saying, but we all know how that one goes. Yeah, I mean, we're still under a lockdown, so we can't go anywhere or do anything that's not essential work, which thankfully media happens to be essential work. Dan Till, finally able to catch you live, my dude. Thank you for your guidance, man. Seriously, keep doing what you do. You're important, honestly. Thank you very much. Charles Lewis says, the accusations of the smart glasses set reliably turned into projections. This is the way. # reset the clock should really get trending again. KT says, milk is a nutrient-rich liquid food produced by the mammary glands of mammals. Almonds are not mammals, so you're more accurately drinking nut juice. Okay.
I'm going to start calling that in the office.
I'm okay with that.
What, you want your nut juice?
Better than your boob milk.
It's better than pocket meat. We had a debate. It was like, how do you name, like, you know, cocktail sausages and sausage rolls and scotch eggs? Is there like a name you can call all these things? And all I could come up with was pocket meat. But like, has anyone got anything better? Because I know that's not good.
But I quite like oat milk as well, actually. It's quite nice. Brother Doom says, shall not be infringed. Yeah, I know. It's just crystal clear. Like, it's probably the most clear sentence that can be uttered in the English language. Wolfgang Deyer says, I prefer the wood chipper image to the Trump heads crap. Still horrible sentiment from the framer, but at least it's not such glorifying crime. Yeah, I mean, it's just, they've been radicalizing for years, and it's very, very obvious. Distro32, I'm sure Twitter just so happened to ban Veritas when they exposed Facebook. No coordination about it at all. Yeah, well, that's the point, isn't it? It seems to be the cabal at work. And we know from the Time magazine article that Zuckerberg and Dorsey were met by, what was the name of the woman? I can't remember the name of the woman, who's now nominated for Biden's cabinet. We have the trail. They admitted it. Wolfgang Gen, we do have our own China, two of them, Singapore and Taiwan, much better than the MSC. MSC is a private country. Student of history. So this is the first time I've been able to actually watch the podcast and go say, looking good, Sargon. Wife must be loving the diet. Also, where do I send the sweet banana bread recipes for the office? contact@loadseas.com, but don't spam us with banana bread recipes. I don't think I can eat banana bread. I think it's still too carb-rich.
I don't even like it.
No. My wife for Valentine's Day, she's going to be making me low-carb cake, which I'm really looking forward to, man. It's probably going to taste awful, not because of her cooking, but because of low carb. But I haven't had cake in ages. I really would like a cake.
Did you not get that one, like, some guy sent us? I think it was, like, chocolate cake recipe that was low
carb? Yeah, I sent that across to my wife.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, I don't know.
Shout out to the guy who sent that, I guess.
Yeah, thank you. Wolfgang Gen, as a neo-Nazi furry, I'm triple oppressed. And you're banned.
No, we can get sued if that...
Oh, no! Vox Pop, please interview Josh Lionheart England ASAP. See him on the latest Delling Poll YouTube interview. I haven't, but I'll try and check it out. Doug Dimmy Dunn says, if gun manufacturers are responsible for how people use their product, why can't social media be held responsible for how people use it? Ooh, good point. And I just want to say, I don't think the manufacturers of Gorilla Glue are responsible for people using it as a hair product.
There's also a problem here. I remember John Stossel did a show on this. So it was...
Yeah, you like John Stossel.
I love John Stossel. Yeah. He's a great guy. But he makes like the gasoline holders, right? Mm-hmm. They had to, the company that makes them in the United States went bankrupt because they were literally demanding like they rework the way they make them because people were using them to pour it on fires. So right. Like you'd pour the jug on the fire, right? Which would then go back up and the whole thing's on fire.
Right, yeah.
They were just like, that's not our fault. Didn't matter. They shut down the company.
Oh my god!
The guys who made it. I don't know if there's a new one now that complies with it, but they literally bankrupted the company. The company went
right. So Gorilla Glue are actually going to have to, ironically, write this. This is not a hair product. This is not like a sex lubrication product. This is not any other conceivable use of this.
Well, it wasn't just that. They demanded that they rework the mechanism for where it comes out, so then it couldn't get a flame back up in. They were just like, this is too complex and going to cost us a load of money.
Yeah. Well, so. Goodbye to your company. Again, look,
government, man.
Everything taking the responsibility off of the people who are using it. Like, if some woman is so stupid as to use something that is called glue on her hair, that's nobody else's fault.
No.
That is just, oh, it didn't say on the packaging. It does. It says glue. Like, glue is meant to stick things together.
And like, if you're pouring gasoline on an open fire and you get set on fire...
What are you doing?
What are you doing, man? Like,
the thing is, at the end of the day, that Gorilla Glue thing was an amazing advert for Gorilla Glue. Now everyone, I mean, I'd never heard of Gorilla Glue, but I am aware now that it's an amazing adhesive.
It certainly works.
Yeah. No, John, we're not saying anything like that. Goodbye. Ray Young says, Emperor Biden wants gun manufacturers to be accountable. Does he also want vehicle manufacturers to be accountable for trucks of peace? Yeah, well, as I said...
literally said that.
Literally will be. Wolfgang, again, assault weapons are necessary for defense from mobs. Yeah, but you know how they feel about mobs. What if there are too many dead pedophiles? Oh, I don't know. I guess it just sucks. Matthew Hammonds, is the US going to start changing bottle manufacturers, petroleum companies, and clothing, or fuse manufacturers for Antifa arson? Exactly.
They literally did.
Philip Abudi says, all these YouTubers losing guns in boating accidents. Yeah, weird. Cool Frog says, so Disney is openly saying he may be a pedophile, but at least he isn't a Trump supporter.
Yes, that's their opinion.
Yeah, and I've seen quite a few, in fact, verified check marks saying things like, you know, well, Hitler might have been bad, but at least he wasn't Trump. It's like, okay, I think Trump is not worse than Hitler. Don't suspend me, YouTube.
Why is Jeffrey Epstein so liked by Democratic types? At least he's not Trump.
Yeah, at least he's not Trump. Daniel J. Krieger says, my daughter and... ex-friend ratted me out. I guess no one cared, and all my videos are still up from 1-6 on YouTube. Here's T money, thank you. Assault weapons are weapons used in assault. Yeah, that's correct. For $1,776, which is the correct amount to send too. Chase Asher says the left will say it's not being infringed, but in reality they are making it harder to get a firearm. Yeah, I mean every step that they take to try and stop you from and put a barrier in your way to getting a firearm is definitionally an infringement. Yeah. Like, it may be justified, it may be warranted. There's a discussion to be had there, I'm sure. But if the standard is shall not be infringed, then that seems to be where the discussion ends.
Why does a New York State citizen need to define certain types of knives and define what nunchucks are and the purpose they can be used for if it's not just an attempt to stop you getting your right?
I have no idea, but I mean, I didn't think I was going to have to become an expert on knives just to get my lawful constitutional rights. But now, here we are. God, I wish we had an American Constitution over here. Imagine campaigning to violate the Constitution after you take the pledge to defend the Constitution. Strange flex. Yeah, well, again, it's Democrats ruining everything. The left ruins everything. Student of history. So anyone else getting flashbacks of the American Holy Spirit? Mr. Marvin Haymeyer. Don't know who he is, I'm afraid.
I'll look it up.
A trash person. As a Razor Fist follower, I would like you to stop perpetuating the myth that Walt Disney was an anti-Semite, like the Union chuds that stole his legacy. Is that true?
I don't know. I'll look it up in a minute. Martin Haymeyer was the guy who did the, what do you call it? The truck? You know, the truck that was unstoppable? Killdozer.
Oh, Killdozer. Yeah. Oh, you mean Saint Haymeyer. That's why I didn't recognize it, obviously. I guess.
For libertarians, I mean, yeah, who else would you canonize?
Yeah, literally. Yeah. I mean, literally killed no one and showed the government who was boss. Love it. Brian Allman, if states can refuse to enforce federal immigration laws, why can't they refuse to enforce federal gun laws? Ceaseless discharge.
Yeah, like Walt Disney literally made cartoons that were against the Nazis back during the war, so.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, maybe he said something on the side. Let me look at that.
Yeah, maybe he has other reasons for opposing the Nazis in the same way that the SPLC has other reasons for opposing black separatist groups. It's like, well, okay, we understand they hate the white man, and that's a good thing, but they also hate Jews, and we don't like that. You know, maybe it's that sort of situation. Yeah.
Apparently people who knew him said that this was untrue.
Yeah.
And he was a massive representative of American imperialism.
Based. Okay, fair enough. Thank you, Trash Person. I take that back. I did not know, which surprises me because I thought I'd watched basically all of Razor Fist's videos. Ceaseless Discharge says, on the gun rights, what are the chances of black gang members or hoodlums being charged with holding guns under the Biden administration? Non-existent. More than likely, what about Antifa like Chaz? Zero chance, I would say. I think that this is an attempt to essentially turn the American... the average American to the average European, which isn't something enviable. Svatnix says, here in Victoria, Australia, we're going into a five-day extreme lockdown because of 19 cases of China virus. Our government has lost the plot. Yeah, well, I mean, we're still in the plot loss, the lost plot position. And yeah, like, governments should not be able to lock down. End of story. The idea came from communist China. Why would we copy that?
Only 5 days, you lucky son of a...
Yeah, God, I wish. Yeah, the extent of the tyranny over here is insane. Even the conservatives are starting to be like, oh, by the way, chaps, maybe this is going a bit too far. We've only lost like 30% of our economy. In fact, there was a thing earlier today. We're having an unprecedented downturn now because of Brexit as well. So it's like, look, all you need to do is just stop confining us to our homes.
I don't think Brexit has anything to do with this. I'm pretty sure locking down the whole country is 99% of this.
Sure, but like, and there's an additional sort of 1%. I haven't actually read into it yet. But
so
like,
I was talking to Josh, actually. We've had a bit of like a massive downturn. I think it was 16% and then went back up. And it's a net loss of 9% is what Rishi Sunak said over the last year. So
it's still not good when we're supposed to be growing. Mm. Gareth Green, you don't... Oh, no, I read those already. Astronaut Kitty, have you heard that Biden wants to punish Florida by restricting our ability to travel domestically because of our refusal to comply with draconian COVID lockdowns to expose and embarrass them? Yes.
At the same time that he stops the funding for the wall. So if you want to travel across the US border, that's fine if you want to illegally migrate that way. But if you want to migrate within the United States, that's what he's concerned with.
Well, I mean, lots of people in Florida voted Trump. It's those damn Cubans, I'm telling you. Student of History says, Cali's anti-civil rights law failed, but they did pass their diddler law. Oh, God. I don't even want to know what that is.
I didn't know they had the diddler law.
Yeah, I dread to think what California's position on child molestation is at this point.
That's the head of the advocacy group for them, so...
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly, though. I'm not even joking either. That's the thing. It's like... You know, in any normal time and place, you'd be like, well, obviously their laws are against kiddie diddling. Why would you even have this conversation? But it's California. So I don't know what kind of progressive stance they've taken in regard to it. Chernoslav says, hi, Carl. Please check out the book titled Ages of Discord by Professor Peter Turchin. He predicted our current situation back in 2010, and as a result of too many university graduates, I find it interesting. Ages of Discord. I'll try and remember that. T says, I love waking up to you gents. Been waking up for an hour at 5 a.m. every day. Knowing I'll catch you guys live, help me out. Thanks for what you do. Well, thank you very much, T. Shake Silver, racism in reshoots seems like sacrificing JW Joss Whedon to give progressive kudos to the new Snyder Cut. As cringe as Joss Whedon is, Hack Snyder is a worse director. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like social justice nonsense. But since Joss Whedon was one of the people who brought social justice nonsense into the realm, you kind of get what you deserve, don't you? Wolfgang Deo, did Whedon actually want her to abort? If so, who cares? Her life, her choice, abuse of power, are really complaints about those using power as well. Well, we don't know. We only have her statement from it, and he hasn't made a statement on it yet. So, but that is kind of the implication that you take from it, isn't it? Zoranax, Whedon doesn't realize his nature is the trickster. I'm drawn to such characters. Loki, Spike, Jane, Cobb in Firefly. That seems a bit of a generous way of describing Jane Cobb. If Trump weren't real, he'd write him. That's true. Anrad says, only hiring black writers for new Blade movie. Was that true?
I don't know, what are you asking me?
Well, you might have known. You're young, you know things about pop culture. Gareth Green, that photo... Admittedly, you spend too much time listening to North Korean propaganda, probably. That photo of Joss screams Predator. Look at that sneaky face. Yeah, he's... what I find interesting about Joss Whedon is, like, putting a kind of weak man in such a position of authority, I think you're bound to get that sort of behavior coming out of him. King Tesseract says, hey, so I'd like to add a show to your Watch It Sunday list. It's TTGL. Japanese animators took drugs, wanted to make the greatest mecha anime, and by sheer ducking accident, made a retelling of the gospel.
Lamau.
That does sound fun. Student of History. So Joss thought he was Tantalus and ended up being Zeus. Read into that as much as you want. Yeah, it's an interesting way of framing it. Wolfgang Gen, throw in a fancy with your reel. Regardless, we always bring our reel to your reel, whether you discuss a real book or a fancy book. That's true, and I shouldn't talk down the 40k mythos. Fuzzy Toaster, I'm currently putting together an application for you. Given your Istvan V comparison, should I put Warhammer 40,000 experience and knowledge included? Maybe. contact at loadseas.com, by the way. If you wanted to apply for a position here, we're going to be doing interviews for a staff writer and someone to make videos. So if you're charismatic, knowledgeable, intelligent, and think you could do what we're doing right now, feel free to apply. If you suck, don't. Because it's weird as well. Because like, how do you even like say what you're looking for when it comes to someone who makes content, right? You don't know. There's always a sort of indefinable essence or characteristic about that person. But if you think you have that indefinable essence, then feel free to apply. Politically unreliable. Carl, please read and review The Revolt of the Elite and the Betrayal of Democracy by Christopher Lassick. It isn't an easy read, but it's very worthwhile. Man, I wish I had the time. I've got too many books to read already. Cake Skull says, for a surprisingly good libertarian work, look up HFY, We Respond in Kind. Okay. Gareth Green, I don't think the NAP denies self-defense. Yeah, but I'm more of a sort of proactive self-defense kind of guy. I No, it's proactive self-defense, where we defend ourselves to victory.
Depends how literally you're reading the non-aggression principle, I suppose.
I suppose it does.
I don't really care. It's just, it's a nice thing to work with when thinking about such things. But when you're fetishizing it, I think it really does turn into Ancapistan, and it becomes really... I don't know. Like, it's funny in its own right, but it's not something I'd base a country off.
Yeah, it's not just that as well. It's the whole thing of being sort of ideologically bound to a principle when the current circumstances might actually demand something of you for other reasons that are outside of the ideology. I don't want to turn around and say, well, because of this ideology, I can't act in a way that is prudent or appropriate.
This is actually kind of a good point to talk about.
Well, I mean, for example, if I see a man harassing a woman on the street, then I think I actually should have the right to go up and confront him, right? And I mean this as like a man. I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm a feminist or anything like this. But I think men do have a responsibility to be men about things like this, you know?
I was more thinking, so take
I'd be breaking the net.
The famines and the horrors of the 20th century. Like, almost always it's the case that the state could act to stop it, but because of the ideology it won't.
Yeah.
It's actually, my understanding, is the same in the Bengal famines before the Japanese invasion one. That's a whole other complex conversation. Yeah. But those ones where before we owned India and there was no war going on, there was basically the argument that they just shouldn't interfere in the market because of an autistic obsession with laissez-faire economics. Mm-hmm. So even when a famine occurred, they were just like, nothing to do with us. Like,
it's just the market. So, yeah, no,
you don't want to hold yourself that strictly to something.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is the thing. It really, what it boils down to is, what is the purpose of the ideology? Because really, it should be about understanding reality. You know, reality should come first, then ideology should be extracted from reality. And the problem with the Enlightenment is actually taking the opposite approach. It's like, no, we'll create the theory and then apply that to reality. And that's why it turns out that Lysenkoism doesn't work. You know, it's the wrong way around, in my opinion. But right, we'll do a couple more.
Trying to fight a reality doesn't work.
Yeah, no, but that's the entire point.
That's
of the
entire point of the Enlightenment. Yeah,
that's the entire point of it. And in many ways, it has done a great job. But in many other ways, it got millions and millions of people killed and was the worst thing that happened to humanity. So it's like, right, okay, we need to extract the good parts and then leave those bad parts. And the first thing is remembering that reality comes first. That's the most important thing. Philippa Booty says, if I'm going to take a kicking, I'm going to take someone out first. Not Heisenberg says 9.5 In-N-Out double animal style burgers for Callum on yesterday's stream. Lamau, cheers. Wow, you got 9.5 burgers out of 10. That's
why,
very good.
Why out of 10? What's happening?
It's made 12. Yeah, that's a European metric system. Don't. But I mean, in fact, they didn't even say 9.5. So if it's 9.5 out of 12, I mean, that's not bad. It's not great though. Could be doing better, but they are double animal style burgers. So I mean, they're probably quite nice.
I've never had In-N-Out. I've never been to the United States.
So. I have In-N-Out once, and they're very, very good.
I want to go to the States.
They're very nice.
We'll see.
I think we actually. Oh no, we've got five guys here. Kevin K says, interesting. They are using the term assault weapon now instead of assault rifle. What else are they coming after? They're coming after my assault potato peelers. That's what they're doing.
They did.
So, no, yeah, exactly.
Remember the judge in Scotland
I know. That's why I mentioned it. That's the last thing we've got to defend ourselves with. And even then, it's been criminalised.
Also, assault water pistols.
Oh, God.
There was that beggar that was done. Yeah. The same judge
Under the Firearms Act for having a water pistol.
That was the same judge that convicted Dankula of a hate crime.
And he was bantering. So this homeless guy had a water pistol going, give me some money or I'll shoot you. Obviously, banter, a joke. And the judge convicted him under the Firearms Act. It's like, but he didn't have a firearm. What the hell is wrong with you? I don't know what to say.
We did have Chick-fil-A, just to mention. We had it for, I think it was like 6 months in Reading.
Yeah, and then they got it shut down.
And the gay mafia got them shut down. Like, I'm not even being disproportionate when I say that.
Yeah.
Because they work with the Labour Party, these different groups. They're not the representative of homosexuals at all. It's just like, you know, the LGBT groups that no one ever, a homosexual, cares about. They got the building to agree to deplatform Chick-fil-A from the building. And in agreement, they would also send any further requests for companies to hire places through the LGBT mafia, who would then approve or disapprove of new people renting areas to sell stuff.
What? That... How is that allowed?
I don't know. They're a private company, so they can do it, I guess. But what's wrong with
you? No, but you can't just do that, because we actually have laws in common law called tortious interference.
And I mean, setting up the future process is part of that.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter, right? If you're engaged in a contract with someone else, and a third party comes along to break the contract specifically to injure you, your financial and your business prospects, you can sue them for something called tortious interference. And so it's like, why the hell isn't this happening constantly?
It's up to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, so. I guess. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's a good reason. Is Callum sitting on a cushion?
No.
You want an American constitution? There's a form of American ideology the French historically supported. Citizens unite tonight. Yeah, well, we're not going down that road. But right, we'll end there because we're already over time. But right, thank you everyone for joining us. If you want more content from us, you can obviously find it on loadseas.com. We've got loads of premium content, loads of book clubs, loads of premium podcasts about things we can't really talk about here. We're going to be doing another premium podcast at some point on one of my favorite subjects, Bigfoot.
We're debating about how to go and find him at this point.
Yeah, we're debating about how to travel to Alaska, but unfortunately, that's illegal. I mean, Boris Johnson literally said on the thing yesterday, holidays are illegal. Holidays are illegal. That's Britain in 2021. Anyway, we'll be back on Monday, folks, 1 p.m. UK time.
There's one more.
California diddler laws basically is backdoor and up top is legal across the age of 18. We'll have to look into this.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I want to read it.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, we'll be back on Monday at 1 p.m. UK time. We'll see you then, folks.